My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
Hey, and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Erin.
Hello.
She's over there excited. She's a little farther away today in the studio. We have a special guest. I'm very excited about today's topic. Today, we are going to finally discuss hormone and hormone replacement, hormone therapy. We've been asked over and over and over again to do this show, and we've purposefully not talked about hormones.
Part of the reason for that, let me just explain kind of how this works to everyone, is that I, a lot of times, will do the outlines and, you know, TJ is treating people. He knows all of this stuff. So I have to like get up to speed. Hormones is something that just was so huge. And I'm like, you're going to have to figure this out. And you're going to. So he brought in reinforcements.
I did. I brought in reinforcements. I'm so excited.
Hola.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So I brought in reinforcements. So, I mean, like I was saying before, we've been doing hormone replacement in the office for a while. And we help someone out, and then they send their friend or their, you know, spouse or, you know, a loved one in, and they get help with hormones. And I mean, it's all been word of mouth at this point. And we've just had so many people that have just basically been begging us, will you please do a show on hormones? When are you ever going to do hormones?
I think there is so much confusion out there. And before we get too far into this, can we recommend?
I'm getting there. I'm building up. I'm building okay. Anticipation. I'm building anticipation.
I'm wondering who is here with us.
With us today in the studio is our nurse practitioner at our office. His name is Nick Bodie. He has been with the clinic for a couple years now, and he is just amazing. All of our patients just love him. The staff loves him. He's brilliant.
Yes, he's really a guru with all things functional medicine, but hormones especially, we really wanted to bring. We've talked about, you know, we should bring him on a lot of these shows, but hormones was something that TJ's like,
he's the man.
Specialist with this.
Wow.
So.
Thank you for that introduction.
you're very welcome.
I hope that was worth all the anticipation you built up there.
I could see the sarcasm already. It definitely is. I hope that our listeners and you guys out there in listener land, really can take a lot away from today. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff when it comes to hormone replacement today. And just to give a little bit of an outline, like we always do on this show, the things that we're going to try to get through, because sometimes we talk a little bit long, we're going to try to talk about the difference between bioidentical hormone replacement and synthetic hormone replacement. We want to talk about what that is, what the differences are. We're going to talk about routes of administration. So we're going to talk about oral hormones. We're going to talk about transdermal, so things that you put on your skin. We're going to talk about injectables, and then we're going to talk about pellets. And we're going to really get into why the mode of administration matters, right? This stuff really, truly matters. Not every mode of administration is for every person, and we're going to talk about that. There is one way that we feel superior, but it's not for everyone. And there are certain circumstances where someone may not be a candidate.
Which is, again, we talk about this so often on the show, but that's why it's so important to go to someone who knows what they're doing with this. And we've made mention of hormone issues on other shows. I mean, because hormones are affected by so many things in the body, and they affect so many things in the body. So it's so important to go somewhere that has different ways of administering hormones and really figures out what you personally will do best with.
Right, Right. And at the very end, we'll put together like what you're looking for when you're, if you're getting, wanting to get some help with hormones. And like Aaron said, hormones affect so many things. They do that because think of hormones as our body's communication system. That's how our body communicates with itself, how organs communicate with organs, how we just get things done in the body. And so when your hormones are out of balance or suboptimal, so the thing about hormones is they need to be optimized for you. You're not going to feel, you know, you're not going to feel the best unless your hormones are completely optimized. And that's what we're after, is just is helping you get the hormones optimized for you.
Right. And I think so many people are interested in that. And there's so much conflicting information out there, which is what I was talking about before with, you know, when we initially had talked about, hey, we really need to do a show on hormones. I started doing the research and finding, you know, information that completely conflicted. And I'm like,
she literally brought stuff to me. He's like, TJ, what about this? I'm like, oh, well, that's not true.
And so finally, I just throw my hands up and he's like, well, just bring Nick in.
Yeah, just bring in Nick. I'll just write a couple of questions and bring in Nick. Let him talk. So let's jump in. The first thing we're going to talk about is bioidentical versus synthetic hormones. And there is a difference. So, Nick, I'm going to throw this to you.
Sure.
What is the difference between a bioidentical hormone and a synthetic hormone? Can you kind of define like what a bioidentical hormone is for our listeners that have no idea?
Sure, absolutely. So bio, meaning of biology, and identical. So breaking the word down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly chemically, structural-wise, the exact molecule that your body produces on its own.
So it's exactly the same?
Exactly the same.
Perfect. Yep.
And because it's exactly the same chemically, it produces the same effects as your normal endogenous, your own body's hormones would. And it doesn't have a lot of the side effects that synthetic or the alternative, the man-made chemicals do.
So these synthetic ones are basically a completely different molecular structure. Your body doesn't even necessarily recognize what that hormone is. That synthetic hormone. Okay.
Yeah, and well, it can recognize what it is, but a lot of times it's alien to the human body. It's not naturally found in the human body, and sometimes they're actually found in animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, is there ever a time when someone would be a candidate for synthetic instead of bioidentical, or is bioidentical always superior?
That's a great question.
And
wow, this is
you
one
had
of
to
those,
start off with that one, didn't you?
We dance around this a little bit. Bioidentical is always superior.
Yeah.
However, certain instances, and we won't get into that because there's so many factors that can play a part in there. Maybe that the person is not a candidate for bioidentical.
So,
it does happen.
Yeah. Is it similar to kind of the whole thing with levothyroxine that we've talked about before?
Yes.
Where pretty much it's not the best option.
It's not the best option.
There could be a really unique set of circumstances where that's the only thing
that will work
for
absolutely.
Someone. Okay,
yeah, and,
I get it.
And as the biggest difference, really, as of right now, there's no guideline, there's no indicated use for bioidentical hormones for prevention of pregnancy. So
yeah.
there's no birth control method for bioidenticals.
Hormones, yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Birth control is one reason.
Okay. Wait. So synthetic hormones are used for birth control?
That's what
absolutely.
That's what birth control is.
Yeah. See, I feel like you skipped over that part. Like I'm supposed to know it, and this is what I was afraid of having the two of them in the studio. That it's
nerd
all going to go over
nerd
my
alert.
Head.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't have an outline like I normally have done the research to go off of. So,
you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. You're welcome. So I want to ask a question here, and I'm going to formulate this. I know the answer, but I want to ask you, Nick. Could you give us the name so people understand? Because people know prescription names. It's very common. Can you give us the name of a popular bioidentical estrogen and the name of a popular synthetic estrogen so people can like notice, hey, yeah, there is a difference. I have heard of those two products before.
Sure, absolutely. So we get a lot of women that come in on the Vivelle.patch. That's a bioidentical estrogen patch that's used. And then in terms of synthetic, premarin is conjugated equine estrogen.
That's horse, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
equine
absolutely.
Is horse.
Yes. It's actually in the name. So premarin stands for pregnant mare, and that's how they derive the estrogen.
Is that frequently used?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have people who come in and have been prescribed that?
Yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Yes. It's sad. We know. I digress. As far as testosterone goes, so let's talk about guys for a second, because guys do hormone replacement too, and they do testosterone. You know, there's a bioidentical form, and it's just testosterone.
Yeah.
But if you get into the synthetic versions, you're talking about testosterone cypionate, which is a very popular injectable form of testosterone.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So, and we see that as well. And, you know, there are times that you would use a testosterone cypionate for a guy, and there are times that you would use a bioidentical testosterone. Bioidentical is better.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it.
Well, and I want to say there are going to be a lot of people who are listening to this, and that means nothing to them, the different brand names. And that's great, right? Because it means that you haven't...
They haven't got to that point or hadn't needed it yet.
But exactly. I want to just point out that even if you haven't gotten to the point where you are, you know, feeling like you need bioidentical hormones... This is something that we have had people who come in and find out that they actually are candidates for bioidentical hormones who had no idea that that was their issue.
Right.
They may know that they had other issues going on, but didn't know it was that.
Right.
So just because you haven't gotten to the point where you've actually discussed this with, you know, like your primary care doctor or something, doesn't mean that it doesn't apply.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there are so many doctors out there that... avoid this topic for whatever reason. Doctors avoid this question, avoid addressing hormones. I don't know why, but
do you think it's because they don't understand?
Yes, absolutely.
Actually
is why.
I completely agree. It's no different than, you know, we've talked about on this show before where doctors feel ill-equipped. There's studies that show they feel ill-equipped to handle autoimmune condition. Trust me, autoimmune condition is a cakewalk compared to optimizing hormones.
Yes.
When you really get into the complexity and what's going on with the body and all the different factors that can come in. I mean, think about all the things that can disrupt the body's communication network. There's so many things out there. And we've talked about different things on the show, toxic metals. We've talked about antibiotics. We've talked about gut health. We've talked about, you know, other toxins that you're exposed to. There's so many things that can just mess everything up. And it's a big issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, trying to differentiate between, you know, having too much excess hormones and low hormones, and it can be a little complicated getting into. And I think, you know, in the 5-minute visit that you get with your primary care, they just not enough time to address those issues.
Well, and I'm guessing that's a huge problem if they mistake, you know, low hormones for excess hormones, that's not something you want to get wrong, right?
Right.
You could really mess somebody up.
That's exactly right. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to continue talking about hormones, and we're going to get into routes of administration, different ways that these things can be administered to you. You're listening to Wellness 101.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And welcome back, everyone. Today, it's been a great show. We've been talking about hormones, and I love this topic. It's so much fun. And in the last segment, or in the first segment rather, we were talking about bioidentical versus synthetic hormones and what the difference is and why you would do one versus the other.
And I don't I'm totally cutting you off, but just
okay.
As you say that, it makes me realize I am guessing a lot of people don't even know what if they're on bioidentical or synthetic. Would that be true? If you go to just a conventional medical doctor and they put you on something, are you necessarily going to know which it is?
Not necessarily, but for the most part, you're on synthetic.
Really?
For the most part. I would say that's what we see in our practice is we see a lot more people that come in on synthetic than come in on bioidentical.
All right. Yeah, well, I just think that's a good you know, cautionary tale to everyone listening is that if you don't know specifically that you're on bioidentical, you need to check and find out, because there's then a good chance that you're on synthetic, right?
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's
a good point.
Yeah. Very good. All right. So before the break, I said that we were going to come back and we were going to talk about routes of administration. So we're going to go through, and this may take a segment or two. I'm not really sure how long this will take, but there are different ways that you can take hormone medication or replacement, whatever it is that you're doing. You can take them orally. That means you can take them by your mouth. You can do injectables. You can do transdermal, which is typically a patch or a cream that goes on the skin that you absorb through the skin. And then there's a pellet, which is another way to absorb or to get hormones. So I want to get into why how the delivery method matters. And I want to talk about oral first. And with oral, there is this, and anything that you take by mouth has to go through this thing called first pass metabolism. And I'm going to let Nick talk to you about what first pass metabolism is and how it affects what it is that you're consuming.
Sure. So with first pass metabolism, it means that anything that you're ingesting by mouth orally has to first pass through your liver before it is available for the rest of your body and to go to its endpoint. So when you take an oral hormone, it first goes to the liver where it's metabolized, and then whatever's left over after that metabolization process is left over for your body to utilize. But in the process of going to your liver first, you can have all of these metabolites of that and downstream effects, and that's where you typically get most of the unwanted side effects from hormones and a lot of medications to do that.
Right. And so this is also why when you take something orally, you lose some of the potency of it, because you lose some of the material that ends up, I mean, it's like running it through a big filter. And, you know, when you run stuff through a filter, you filter out some of the things and you're left with less of whatever you consumed after the filtering. So when you take stuff orally, it has to survive the stomach and the acid bath in the stomach, then it has to survive the liver, and then you may only be left with 20-30% of what you consumed. So if you consumed 100 milligrams of something, you really may only be left with 20 or 30 milligrams, and that's if you're healthy.
Correct, yeah. And the perfect example of that is with like oral progesterone. So oral progesterone, typical dose is 100 milligrams or 200 milligrams, and transdermally or with a cream, you can typically get away with using 10 or 20 milligrams, and it's just as effective.
So, there you go. So, yeah. I mean, that just goes to show you. I mean, when you do things transdermally, and we're not there yet, it's absorbed directly into the bloodstream. It's
correct.
Very
quick. We're not
quick.
In there yet into talking about
we're not,
it.
Yeah, yeah, we're not there yet talking about that. So we're still back to the oral thing, but that's a fantastic point. So another thing that happens with taking hormones orally is you can get gastrointestinal upset and nausea. This happens a lot. It's one of the top side effects of most medications. It's always one of the top side effects of a hormone. If you open up the little insert of the hormone that you received, one of the first things that it says in side effects is upset stomach and nausea.
Yes.
It's listed right there. I mean, go look. You can look yourself, right? Another thing that people complain about that are taking daily oral hormones is that the fact that they have to take it daily, remembering at the same time every day to take this hormone day in, day out. There isn't a break. You want to go on vacation? There is no vacation from your oral hormones.
Yeah.
You've got to take them.
With you. Mm-hmm.
They have to go. And then anytime you take a hormone like this through orally, it's also really hard on the liver. So the liver takes a beating in this. And that's why, you know, your doctor may be running routine blood labs to check your liver function to see what, you know, make sure that nothing is going on there. It's because of this whole first pass metabolism. When you consume things, they have to go right through your liver and get processed before they can get to the rest of your body.
And that's true with a lot of prescription medications.
It's right? All prescription
correct.
Oral medications.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking,
yeah.
Because there are so many. I mean, that's one of the reasons why in our clinic we try to avoid prescription medications if we can. I
right.
mean, that's
yeah.
usually, you know, a worst case scenario, and it certainly does happen. But, you know, we try to do things that aren't going to be, you know, save one organ at the expense of another.
Right.
Correct.
And then we have not only that, here's the two kickers, the ones that really get patients' attention. Most people, they'll deal with a little upset stomach, but it increases your clot risk. So it increases your risk of having a blood clot by taking oral estrogens, right? This is why one of the risks of taking a birth control pill, which is an oral estrogen, is blood clots. And they warn people taking birth control pills not to smoke, because smoking increases your risk for blood clots. So it's a double whammy. If you smoke and you're taking an oral estrogen, you are really at an increased risk for developing a blood clot. On the same token as that, it also has a negative effect on the gallbladder. And I can't tell you how many women come in complaining of gallbladder problems or have had their gallbladder removed, and they've been taking some sort of oral estrogen for many, many years.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they still have the gallbladder.
Right. It's still there.
It's still there.
And we've talked about that a lot on here, the fact that, you know, so many people, you know, will all of a sudden have their gallbladder removed. And, you know, that's one of the things we've talked about is, you know, to encourage people to come in and get checked before they start having issues, because gallbladder is one of those that it's like all of a sudden you have issues and they're like, nope, it's got to come out.
Right.
And this is one of the reasons why we really encourage people to get testing to find out how they are doing internally before they get to that point, because you don't want to be in that emergency situation where they're like, nope, gallbladder is going to come out and you could have avoided it, because all of your organs are better in your body.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Yes, very 100%. Much so. And then, so we'll change gears. So that's oral. Let's talk about injectable route of administration for hormones. So typically when you're doing injectable hormones, you're getting a shot every week or every 2 weeks. And by getting the shot, it causes your levels to fluctuate kind of like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. You get the shot and the levels skyrocket. And then over the next 3 or 4 days, they fall off like nobody's business and they get low again. And then you give yourself another shot and they spike again, and then they fall off, and then you give yourself another shot. And it's just a continuous roller coaster of way more than you need as far as the hormone dose, and then not having enough. And you're only in this sweet spot for a short period of time. And if you ask people who are on hormone injections, they'll tell you, oh, I have 2 or 3 days in there that I feel really good. The rest of the time, I feel like crap. That's their complaint. It's just being honest. It's unfortunately, that's what it is. And then they complain about the fact that the injection itself is painful. These hormones are often suspended in oil. Mm-hmm. Progesterone in oil and testosterone in oil, they're suspended in this oil. You can actually have an allergic reaction to the oil suspension. And that can be a problem. So it's just not fun having to give yourself a shot.
Yeah, most people don't like needles in general.
Right.
But then when they have to give themselves a shot,
right?
It's a
whole different ballgame.
We have grown men that come to our clinic to get the injection because they don't want to
do it themselves
at home. Yeah.
And we show them how to do it. They still will not do it. But that's okay. And then you also have a higher level of erythrocytosis. So that's a problem that you don't want to have. And then also aromatization. The aromatization is the conversion of testosterone into estrogen. And that's an irreversible thing. And in a guy, we don't want lots and lots of estrogen, right? That's not what we're after. We want to keep our testosterone levels high.
So you can inject testosterone and your body converts it to estrogen?
It can.
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can.
Interesting.
And then last but not least on injectables, and then we've got to take a break, it increases platelet stickiness. And anytime your platelets are sticky, that increases your risk of a clot. And that's not what we want to have either. That's not a good thing.
No. So far, oral and injectable both increase your risk for clots.
Correct. Yeah. That's a good recap. And on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about transdermal and pellet applications for hormones. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we have been talking about hormone replacement options, and we've been going through different routes of administration. In the last segment, we talked about oral, taking things in a pill by mouth every day. And we also talked about injectable, giving yourself or going and getting a shot every week or 2 weeks. Next on the list is transdermal. And transdermal just means through the skin. And so one of the problems that happens with transdermal application of hormones is just plain old skin irritation. This stuff can be, you know, very irritating to the skin. Some people that have really sensitive skin can cause them to break out. It can cause them to be itchy. It can cause, you know, the skin to become super sensitive. That's one of the biggest complaints. But also, 45% of people don't actually absorb the stuff through their skin. And that's what's crazy.
Yeah. And you can have, even if you do absorb it, you can have an oversaturation depending on, you know, if you're switching the application site enough, you know. And so what can happen is you respond initially and you get hormone levels up. But then after a little while, you're not absorbing them anymore because the fat cells around that area get oversaturated with the
right.
hormone and they can't uptake anymore.
Is it the fat cells that actually absorb the hormone?
They absorb it and store it and then release it into the blood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What you didn't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot I didn't know.
Yeah. It's so exciting.
That's why it's good I'm listening to you guys.
Yeah. So another thing with transdermal, just like the oral, you have to administer it daily. Now, there is a little asterisk by that, because if you're using a patch, you may be taking that off and replacing the patch every few days. There are birth control patches out there that are once a month, or once a week, I think, is the birth control patch. And there are, you know, estrogens that you change typically every 3 to 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, if you're using a cream, which a cream would be transdermal, you're administering this stuff daily, right? And anytime you put things on the skin, you have a possibility of transferring this to someone else. And this is especially true when we talk about men who are doing a testosterone cream and they transfer it to their wife. That's a huge, yes. huge thing.
Yes, we've seen that in the clinic multiple times.
Multiple times. In fact, we saw someone who the woman was so incredibly toxic in testosterone that it was literally shocking to both Nick and I when we saw the person's level of testosterone, and she wasn't taking testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And because of what she had going on, we won't get into it, but what she had going on in her medical history, she definitely did not need that kind of level of testosterone. I mean, it's one thing if you're extremely healthy and you're exposed to a lot of testosterone and then we recognize it and help you get rid of that stuff. It's another to have some medical conditions that you definitely do not want high levels of testosterone. And when asked, do you notice that? And she's like, well, My husband uses a cream, and he's like, yeah, I just slather it on. And she's like, sometimes I touch his arm and it's oily.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Exactly. We were like, okay, this is an issue.
So basically a man can be on testosterone cream due to loss of libido, right? But then if he's on it, he can no longer touch his wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. Basically.
So
or small
yeah.
children or animals
yes.
nearby.
So he is an island unto himself.
Yes. yes.
Other guys might flock around
right.
him and start giving him hugs
yeah.
and things.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
really the yeah. desired effect.
Yeah. Your 2-year-old boy becomes, you know, starts growing his own beard, you know that you're...
It's terrifying.
yes.
You have a problem. It's really terrifying when it's your daughter that grows a beard.
Yes.
because that's it's bad.
Yeah.
But that's transdermal. I mean, they may be great for certain situations, but they're not always the best route.
So transdermal is either a patch or cream. That's what we're talking about.
That is
right.
correct.
Is getting it in through the skin.
Or there's some weird options out there, too, that are pretty common. I say weird, but they're not really weird. But the NuvaRing is technically transdermal.
That's true.
Because it's going in through the skin.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. No, that's actually a good point. NuvaRing would be considered transdermal. And then last but not least, we have pellets. So pellets, we're fans of pellets. They allow you to have a more consistent blood level. Granted, there is a little bit of pain with the insertion. They do have to be inserted. They're inserted under the skin, in your rear end.
Yes.
just toward the top portion of that. There's a little bit of pain with the insertion for that. There is a possibility that they can extrude. So that means that they could come out. It's extremely rare. It's like 1 or 2%. And really, when that happens, the people they'll tell you, oh, no, it happened because I ran a marathon or something, you know, 3 weeks after or 3 days after I got my pellet insertion. Well, you weren't supposed to be exercising like that right after anyway. There is a downtime. Another, you know, negative with the pellets is there's a downtime after you get the pellets inserted, you know, 5 to 7 days of really no activity that would, you know, walking around and doing stuff like that. Yeah. But you don't want to sit for a long period of time. So you don't want to get your pellets and then take a 12-hour car ride to the beach.
Yeah. I just had a conversation the other day with a patient who was getting ready to do pellets, and we decided to delay it by 2 weeks because she was getting ready to travel and she was going to take a long flight, and we just decided it was better to wait till she came back.
Right. So. That makes a lot of sense when you realize that, oh, wait, these things could come out. Once everything is healed up, I mean, it doesn't take very long to heal, 5 to 7 days to heal. You're pretty much good to go.
Okay, so 5 to 7 days, I mean, we're talking about these other methods where it's daily or every, you know, at least a few times a week. How often do you need to get the pellets?
Great question. So pellets are administered, it depends. Men and women are different. Women will get pellets every 3 to 4 months. Men will get pellets every 5 to 6 months. And it just kind of varies a little bit. There's a little bit of wiggle room there. I understand that. But it has to do with your activity level. The more active you are, the faster you'll burn through a pellet. The less active you are, the slower you'll burn through a pellet. Yeah. That's the big thing.
Now, that's no excuse out there,
right,
ladies and gentlemen, to...
Right. You don't get to take a...
low activity.
Yeah, you don't want low activity just to make your pellets last longer. It's not going to work like that.
But this is with it not... with people not getting it very frequently, it's one of the reasons why people actually will travel to us to get their pellets... instead of, you know, going with these other methods. When you need to be getting, you know, having these administered much more frequently, you know, we typically have people that are in town. But pellets are something that people could actually travel in to come and see us because they don't have to constantly be in the office.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So there are your four modes of administration. We talked about oral, injectable, transdermal, pellet. Oral is basically daily and has some side effects that people don't really like. Injectable, you get something done every week to 2 weeks. Transdermal, typically applied daily. Sometimes it's every 2 or 3 days, depending on what patch you're using. And then there's pellets, which is administered, you know, two to three times, maybe 4 times a year, depending on your activity level and your specific needs. Now, cost, because people ask us all the time what cost is. Believe it or not, pellets are cost effective when compared to oral, injectable, and transdermal. And a lot of times it's actually cheaper to do pellets than it is to be refilling your prescriptions constantly over and over again. And it takes the hassle of having to do it every day or remembering every third day to change your patch. You know, it helps that we have smartphones that can remind us, oh, hey, you know, you need to change your patch. Yeah. But still, it's just something that it's one less thing you have to worry about. Right.
And I know that there are a lot of people who are listening who will think, you know, well, I've got to remember to take all of my other prescriptions every day or, you know, multiple times a day. That's a whole other issue and another reason why you should come and see us. So if you're thinking it wouldn't be a big deal because I have to do that anyway, well, that's something else to consider.
Yeah, that's true.
Who wants one more thing to do?
Right. Exactly. It's hard enough when they come to us and we tell them, you need to eat this way, you need to exercise and do this. It's just, we're just adding things, right? all right. So we've got to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about why... the delivery system matters a little bit for estrogen and progesterone. And we kind of covered the estrogen, but what we didn't cover is progesterone. And maybe we'll even talk a little bit about testosterone as well. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a pretty good show. Today we've been talking about hormone replacement options. And right before the break, I said that we were going to come back and we're going to talk about the delivery system and why it matters between estrogen and progesterone. And I'm just touching and recapping a little bit, because we talked about estrogen and how the non-oral versus the oral makes a difference. One of the big things that we left out that we didn't talk about before is that a non-oral form of estrogen, so i.e. a pellet, doesn't affect triglycerides, whereas an oral estrogen actually increases your triglyceride level. And that's a number that matters. It increases your risk for cardiovascular disease when your triglyceride level is up. And then when it comes to progesterone, basically the big difference between bioidentical and synthetic progesterone is bioidentical progesterone does not increase your breast cancer risk, whereas synthetic version of progesterone actually increases your breast cancer risk, and it's very common to see people gain weight on progesterone. Do you have anything to add in there with that, Nick?
No, that pretty much sums it up. With bioidentical, you don't have as much effect on blood pressure and gallbladder issues as well, too. Both, that's the same for bioidentical estrogen and bioidentical progesterone.
So bioidentical is not going to raise your blood pressure. It's not going to, you know, affect your gallbladder and create, you know, the increased likelihood of forming stones or anything like that. Or clot risk, blood clots. We talked about blood clots, too.
Yes,
bioidenticals,
absolutely.
You don't have the increased risk of blood clots. So, all right. So one thing that I want to touch on here before we go. So there are four tissues in the body that hormones benefit if you're getting your hormones optimized. And those four tissues are bone, brain, breast, and heart. And since cardiovascular, I mean, we're just going to pick on heart for a second. Since cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America, don't you think we could optimize some hormones to help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease? I mean, it makes common sense to me.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense to me, too.
Why would someone not want to do that? I don't understand why someone wouldn't want to do that. But before we end for today, I want to...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we have been talking about hormone replacement options, and we've been going through different routes of administration. In the last segment, we talked about oral, taking things in a pill by mouth every day. And we also talked about injectable, giving yourself or going and getting a shot every week or 2 weeks. Next on the list is transdermal. And transdermal just means through the skin. And so one of the problems that happens with transdermal application of hormones is just plain old skin irritation. This stuff can be, you know, very irritating to the skin. Some people that have really sensitive skin, it can cause them to break out. It can cause them to be itchy. It can cause, you know, the skin to become super sensitive. That's one of the biggest complaints. But also, 45% of people don't actually absorb the stuff through their skin. And that's what's crazy.
Yeah. And you can have, even if you do absorb it, you can have an oversaturation depending on, you know, if you're switching the application site enough, and so what can happen is you respond initially and you get hormone levels up, but then after a little while, you're not absorbing them anymore because the fat cells around that area get oversaturated with the
right.
hormone and they can't uptake anymore.
Is it the fat cells that actually absorb the hormone?
They absorb it and store it and then release it into the blood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What you didn't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot I didn't know.
Yeah. It's so exciting.
That's why it's good I'm listening to you guys.
Too. Yeah. So another thing with transdermal, just like the oral, you have to administer it daily. Now, there is a little asterisk by that, because if you're using a patch, you may be taking that off and replacing the patch every few days. There are birth control patches out there that are once a month, or once a week, I think, is the birth control patch. And there are, you know, estrogens that you change typically every 3 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, if you're using a cream, which a cream would be transdermal, you're administering this stuff daily, right? And anytime you put things on the skin, you have a possibility of transferring this to someone else. And this is especially true when we talk about men who are doing a testosterone cream and they transfer it to their wife. That's a huge, huge thing.
Yes, we've seen that in the clinic multiple times.
Multiple times. In fact, we saw someone who the woman was so incredibly toxic in testosterone that it was literally shocking to both Nick and I when we saw the person's level of testosterone, and she wasn't taking testosterone. Mm-hmm. And because of what she had going on, we won't get into it, but what she had going on in her medical history, she definitely did not need that kind of level of testosterone. I mean, it's one thing if you're extremely healthy and you're exposed to a lot of testosterone, and then we recognize it and help you get rid of that stuff. It's another to have some medical conditions that you definitely do not want high levels of testosterone. And when asked, do you notice that? And she's like, well, My husband uses a cream, and he's like, yeah, I just slather it on. And she's like, sometimes I touch his arm and it's oily.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Exactly. We were like, okay, this is an issue.
Basically, a man can be on testosterone cream due to loss of libido, right? But then if he's on it, he can no longer touch his wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. Basically.
So or small children or animals nearby.
He is an island unto himself.
Yes.
Other guys might flock around him and start giving him hugs and things.
Exactly.
Not really the desired effect.
Yeah. When your two-year-old child, your two-year-old boy becomes, you know, starts growing his own beard, you know that you're...
It's terrifying.
You have a problem. It's really terrifying when it's your daughter that grows a beard.
Oh, yes.
Because that's it's bad.
Yeah.
But that's transdermal. I mean, they may be great for certain situations, but they're not always the best
route. So transdermal is either a patch or cream. That's what we're talking about.
That is correct.
Just is getting it in through the skin.
Or there's some weird options out there, too, that are pretty common. I say weird, but they're not really weird. But the NuvaRing is technically transdermal.
That's true.
Because it's going in through the skin.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. No, that's actually a good point. NuvaRing would be considered transdermal. And then last but not least, we have pellets. So pellets, we're fans of pellets. They allow you to have a more consistent blood level. Granted, there is a little bit of pain with the insertion. They do have to be inserted. They're inserted under the skin, in your rear end.
Yes.
just toward the top portion of that. There's a little bit of pain with the insertion for that. There is a possibility that they can extrude. So that means that they could come out. It's extremely rare. It's like 1 or 2%. And really when that happens, the people... they'll tell you, oh, no, it happened because I ran a marathon or something, you know, 3 weeks after or 3 days after I got my pellet insertion. Well, you weren't supposed to be exercising like that right after anyway. There is a downtime. Another, you know, negative with the pellets is there is a downtime after you get the pellets inserted, you know, 5 to 7 days of really no activity that would, you know, walking around and doing stuff like that, but you don't want to sit for a long period of time, so you don't want to get your pellets and then take a 12-hour car ride to the beach.
Yeah. I just had a conversation the other day with a patient who was getting ready to do pellets, and we decided to delay it by 2 weeks because she was getting ready to travel and she was going to take a long flight, and we just decided it was better to wait till she came back.
Right. So. That makes a lot of sense when you realize that, oh, wait, these things could come out. Once everything is healed up, I mean, it doesn't take very long to heal, 5 to 7 days to heal, you're pretty much good to go.
Okay. So 5 to 7 days, I mean, we're talking about these other methods where it's daily or every, you know, at least a few times a week. How often do you need to get the pellets?
Great question. So pellets are administered, it depends. Men and women are different. Women will get pellets every 3 to 4 months. Men will get pellets every 5 to 6 months. And it just kind of varies a little bit. There's a little bit of wiggle room there. I understand that. But it has to do with your activity level The more active you are, the faster you'll burn through a pellet. The less active you are, the slower you'll burn through a pellet. Yeah. That's the big thing.
Now, that's no excuse out there,
right,
ladies and gentlemen, to...
Right. You don't get to take
a low activity.
Yeah, you don't want low activity just to make your pellets last longer. It's not going to work like that.
But this is with it not... With people not getting it very frequently, it's one of the reasons why people actually will travel to us to get their pellets instead of, you know, going with these other methods. When you need to be getting, you know, having these administered much more frequently, you know, we typically have people that are in town, but pellets are something that people could actually travel in to come and see us because they don't have to constantly be in the office.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So there are your four modes of administration. We talked about oral, injectable, transdermal, pellet. Oral is basically daily and has some side effects that people don't really like. Injectable, you get something done every week to 2 weeks. Transdermal, typically applied daily. Sometimes it's every 2 or 3 days, depending on what patch you're using. And then there's pellets, which is administered, you know, two to three times, maybe four times a year, depending on your activity level and your specific needs. Now, cost, because people ask us all the time what cost is. Believe it or not, pellets are cost effective when compared to oral, injectable, and transdermal. A lot of times it's actually cheaper to do pellets than it is to be refilling your prescriptions constantly over and over again. And it takes the hassle of having to do it every day or remembering every third day to change your patch. You know, it helps that we have smartphones that can remind us, oh, hey, you know, you need to change your patch. Yeah. But still, it's just something that it's one less thing you have to worry about. Right.
I know that there are a lot of people who are listening who will think, you know, well, I've got to remember to take all of my other prescriptions every day or, you know, multiple times a day. That's a whole other issue and another reason why you should come and see us. So if you're thinking it wouldn't be a big deal because I have to do that anyway, well, that's something else to consider.
Yeah, that's true.
Who wants one more thing to do?
Right. Exactly. It's hard enough when they come to us and we tell them, you need to eat this way, you need to exercise and do this. It's just, we're just adding things, right? all right. So we've got to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about why... the delivery system matters a little bit for estrogen and progesterone. And we kind of covered the estrogen, but what we didn't cover is progesterone. And maybe we'll even talk a little bit about testosterone as well. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a pretty good show. Today we've been talking about hormone replacement options. And right before the break, I said that we were going to come back and we're going to talk about the delivery system and why it matters between estrogen and progesterone. And I'm just touching and recapping a little bit because we talked about estrogen and how the non-oral versus the oral makes a difference. One of the big things that we left out that we didn't talk about before is that a non-oral form of estrogen, so i.e. a pellet, doesn't affect triglycerides, whereas an oral estrogen actually increases your triglyceride level. And that's a number that matters. It increases your risk for cardiovascular disease when your triglyceride level is up. And then when it comes to progesterone, basically the big difference between bioidentical and synthetic progesterone is bioidentical progesterone does not increase your breast cancer risk, whereas synthetic version of progesterone actually increases your breast cancer risk, and it's very common to see people gain weight on progesterone. Do you have anything to add in there with that, Nick?
No, that pretty much sums it up. You know, with bioidentical, you don't have as much effect on blood pressure and gallbladder issues as well, too. Both, that's the same for bioidentical estrogen and bioidentical progesterone.
So it's bioidentical is not going to raise your blood pressure. It's not going to, you know, affect your gallbladder and create, you know, the increased likelihood of forming stones or anything like that. Or clot risk, blood clots. We talked about blood clots too.
Yes,
bioidenticals,
absolutely.
You don't have the increased risk of blood clots. So, all right. So one thing that I want to touch on here before we go. So there are four tissues in the body that hormones benefit if you're getting your hormones optimized. And those four tissues are bone, brain, breast, and heart. And since cardiovascular, I mean, we're just going to pick on heart for a second. Since cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America, don't you think we could optimize some hormones to help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease? I mean, it makes common sense to me.
Yeah.
It's
makes perfect sense to me, too.
Why would someone not want to do that? I don't understand why someone wouldn't want to do that. But before we end for today, I want to talk a little bit about types of pellets. So there are different types of pellets out there that are available, and different doctors are doing different things.
And they're definitely not all created equal.
They are definitely not all created equal. Not all pellets are sterile. Not all pellets have been tested by a third party for potency. There can be fluctuations in the dose in pellets. Some pellets, the fluctuation can be as much as plus or minus 20%. Now, what that means, if someone is administering a 100 milligram pellet and they – and by the way, I don't know if we've said this earlier. I'll throw it out there now. The pellets are about the size of a large grain of rice. Just – as a reminder, if you missed the other shows on hormones, that's about what the size of these pellets are. But a 100 milligram pellet, if it's plus or minus 20, you could be really getting 80 milligrams, or you could be getting 120 milligrams. That's a difference between a therapeutic dose and it doing absolutely nothing for you, right? That's a problem.
Yeah, giving way too much.
Yeah, giving just way too much. That's, overdosing on the hormones. And that's problematic, too. It's just as big a problem to have way too much as it is to be way too low. This is why it's a hormone optimization. It's not, let's get your hormones as high as possible or keep your hormones as low as possible. It's optimization, getting them just right, right? And so another issue with this is, for us, the pellets that we use, they're guaranteed to be plus or minus 3%. There's always going to be a little bit of variation. There's variation in your prescription medications, too. Yeah. And
a lot of people don't realize that. Just with your standard prescription medication,
right,
whether it be blood pressure or whatever, it can be up to 10% on some medications.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Which is probably why, now that you say that, where some people, will have either the brand name or a generic, and they'll feel different on one or, compared to the other.
Yeah. Right.
I bet that's probably
absolutely
why.
And that it also has to do with the fillers that are in the generics versus the brand name.
Yeah.
They may be using a little different filler, and you may have a little more variation in the
right
generic with the potency.
Right. And with what you're talking about with the pellets, I mean, we, talked about in the prior segments that pellets, for the most part, are going to be superior, right? They're the
right
best way of administering hormone replacement. But it's not that easy. I think the point here is that it's not just, finding someone who is going to administer pellets. That's not the only concern. There are different types of pellets. And it's kind of what we've talked about before with IV nutrition, how, IV nutrition is going to get the nutrients into your bloodstream, which is typically superior to oral administration, but you can't just go to anybody
right
for IV nutrition. So it's really the same thing there. I mean,
And unfortunately, there's no one out there policing
right
who's saying what.
And for IV nutrition or pellets.
Right. So people are just making claims and saying stuff, oh, I do pellets or I do IV nutrition, and they really have no training whatsoever. That can be dangerous for people.
Right. And it's
scary.
Hard from our
yeah
perspective when we get these people in and who have been hurt and then
like, oh, I don't want to do pellets.
Yeah,
I've had a problem.
I know someone who had a horrible reaction and we think, okay, where did you go and what were they actually using? And so
right
there are, it matters not just the form of administration, but who's administering it and what they're actually administering.
Right. I mean, so just like with everything, if you're looking for hormone optimization, find someone who is trained in functional medicine. You will thank us for finding that, because I can't tell you how many people have come to us that are on, men especially, women too, but women are just given estradiol and nothing else, or they're, given progesterone and nothing else, and that's a problem. But men, all they'll do with a blood lab, they'll literally bring their blood work with them. It's a testosterone, and that's basically it. And they didn't look at anything else. They saw that their testosterone was low, and they start giving them you know, super high doses of testosterone. And we're like, wait a minute, they've completely missed the boat because no one looked at the person. They just came in, got their blood drawn, and then they're like, oh, your testosterone's low, let's give you testosterone. It's not, you know, if it's low, give testosterone. If it's low, why is it low? What's going on? Let's make sure we're addressing all of the issues and fix that.
Right. And no, I mean, I think that's a really good point. And I know I always try to do comparisons here because that's how it makes sense to me. But this is similar to what we have talked about with thyroid before, where people will come in and they'll have just had their TSH checked and TSH checked and TSH checked. Nobody actually looked at what their body was doing and what was actually going on with the thyroid.
Yeah. And they didn't need Synthroid after all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with this. You can't just look at testosterone is what you're saying, right?
Right. There's a whole lot more that goes into this. And so, you know, if you're looking for someone that's going to, you know, help you with your hormones, find someone who does all forms of hormone replacement, someone that understands when it's prudent to use oral or injectable or transdermal uses, not just someone who's just doing pellet.
And are they pelleting everybody? Because sometimes someone might think that they have a hormone issue and they might have a different issue completely.
Right. They may have a toxic metal issue.
Right.
Yeah. We
so
see that a lot.
So that's important, too. And you don't want to bombard their system
right.
with hormones that they don't need.
Exactly. So then you're creating other problems that someone else is going to have to undo.
And we have had a lot of patients that come in and we're considering hormone replacement therapy with someone else, and we have found major problems. And we're like, well, it's a good thing we checked before you did this. So this is a... You know,
and it's not that they didn't need hormone replacement or that they may not need it, but we have bigger issues and bigger fish to fry first.
And it may change what they need, right? I mean, it may change, you know, how much they need. It may change when they get it. I mean, there are all these other issues.
And they may not even need it once the other problems are fixed. That's the thing. You just don't know until you fix things in the proper order. So anyway, you know, if you're looking for someone to help you, find someone that does functional medicine. Find someone that utilizes all the forms of hormone replacement. But that's about all the time we have for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. If you want more information, please visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Give us a call, 314-293-8123. Shoot us an email. We love to hear from you. We love to have your questions. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. You know, we try to post on there as frequently as we can. You can reach out and connect with us. If you have any show ideas, throw those out there. We really enjoy those.
And we finally listened to all of you that are saying hormones.
We finally listened to you for hormones. So that's all the time we've got. For Aaron and Nick, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a pretty good show. Today we've been talking about hormone replacement options. And right before the break, I said that we were going to come back and we're going to talk about the delivery system and why it matters between estrogen and progesterone. And I'm just touching and recapping a little bit because we talked about estrogen and how the non-oral versus the oral makes a difference. One of the big things that we left out that we didn't talk about before is that a non-oral form of estrogen, so i.e. a pellet, doesn't affect triglycerides, whereas an oral estrogen actually increases your triglyceride level. And that's a number that matters. It increases your risk for cardiovascular disease when your triglyceride level is up. And then when it comes to progesterone, basically the big difference between bioidentical and synthetic progesterone is bioidentical progesterone does not increase your breast cancer risk, whereas synthetic version of progesterone actually increases your breast cancer risk, and it's very common to see people gain weight on progesterone. Do you have anything to add in there with that, Nick?
No, that pretty much sums it up. You know, with bioidentical, you don't have as much effect on blood pressure and gallbladder issues as well, too. Both, that's the same for bioidentical estrogen and bioidentical progesterone.
So it's bioidentical is not going to raise your blood pressure. It's not going to, you know, affect your gallbladder and create, you know, the increased likelihood of forming stones or anything like that. Or clot risk, blood clots. We talked about blood clots, too.
Yes,
bioidenticals, you don't have the increased risk of blood clots. So, all right. So one thing... that I want to touch on here before we go. So there are four tissues in the body that hormones benefit if you're getting your hormones optimized. And those four tissues are bone, brain, breast, and heart. And since cardiovascular, I mean, we're just going to pick on heart for a second. Since cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America, don't you think we could optimize some hormones to help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease? I mean, it makes common sense to me.
Yeah, it's makes perfect sense to me, too.
Why would someone not want to do that? I don't understand why someone wouldn't want to do that. But before we end for today, I want to talk a little bit about types of pellets. So there are different types of pellets out there that are available, and different doctors are doing different things.
And they're definitely not all created equal.
They are definitely not all created equal. Not all pellets are sterile. Not all pellets have been tested by a third party for potency. There can be fluctuations in the dose in pellets. Some pellets, the fluctuation can be as much as plus or minus 20%. Now, what that means, if someone is administering a 100 milligram pellet and they – and by the way, I don't know if we've said this earlier. I'll throw it out there now. The pellets are about the size of a large grain of rice. Just – as a reminder, if you missed the other shows on hormones, that's about what the size of these pellets are. But a 100 milligram pellet, if it's plus or minus 20, you could be really getting 80 milligrams, or you could be getting 120 milligrams. That's a difference between a therapeutic dose and it doing absolutely nothing for you, right? That's a problem.
Yeah, giving way too much.
Yeah, giving just way too much. That's, I mean, overdosing on the hormones, and that's problematic too. It's just as big a problem to have way too much as it is to be way too low. This is why it's a hormone optimization. It's not, you know, let's get your hormones as high as possible or keep your hormones as low as possible. It's optimization, getting them just right, right? And so another issue with this is, you know, for us, the pellets that we use, they're guaranteed to be plus or minus 3%. There's always going to be a little bit of variation. There's variation in your prescription medications too. Yeah. And
a lot of people don't realize that. Just with your standard prescription medication,
right,
whether it be blood pressure or whatever, it can be up to 10% on some medications.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Which is probably why, now that you say that, where some people, you know, will have either the brand name or a generic and they'll feel different on one or, you know, compared to the other.
Yeah.
I bet that's probably
absolutely
why.
And that it also has to do with the fillers that are in the generics versus the brand name.
Yeah.
They may be using a little different filler and you may have a little more variation in the
right
generic with the potency.
Right. And well, and with what you're talking about with the pellets, I mean, we, you know, talked about in the prior segments that pellets, for the most part, are going to be superior, right? They're the
right
best way of administering hormone replacement. But it's not that easy. I think the point here is that it's not just, you know, finding someone who is going to administer pellets. That's not the only concern. There are different types of pellets. And it's kind of what we've talked about before with IV nutrition, how, you know, IV nutrition is going to get the nutrients into your bloodstream, which is typically superior to oral administration, but you can't just go to anybody
right
for IV nutrition. So it's really the same thing there. I mean,
and unfortunately, there's no one out there policing
right
who's saying what
and for IV nutrition or pellets.
Right.
You
so
know?
People are just making claims and saying stuff. Oh, I do pellets or I do IV nutrition, and they really have no training whatsoever. That can be dangerous for people.
Right.
It's
and it's
scary
hard from our
yeah
perspective when we get these people in and who have been hurt and then
like, oh,
know,
I don't want to do pellets.
Yeah,
I had a problem.
I know someone who had a horrible reaction and we think, okay, you know, where did you go and what were they actually using? And so
right
there are, you know, I mean, it matters not just the form of administration, but who's administering it and what they're actually administering.
Right. I mean, so just like with everything, if you're looking for hormone optimization, find someone who is trained in functional medicine. You will thank us for finding that, because I can't tell you how many people have come to us that are on, men especially, that are, and well, women too, but women are just given estradiol and nothing else, or they're, you know, given progesterone and nothing else, and that's a problem. But men, all they'll do with a blood lab, they'll literally bring their blood work with them. It's a testosterone, and that's basically it. And they didn't look at anything else. They saw that their testosterone was low, and they start giving them you know, super high doses of testosterone. And we're like, wait a minute, they've completely missed the boat because no one looked at the person. They just came in, got their blood drawn, and then they're like, oh, your testosterone's low, let's give you testosterone. It's not, you know, if it's low, give testosterone. If it's low, why is it low? What's going on? Let's make sure we're addressing all of the issues and fix that.
Right. And no, I mean, I think that's a really good point. And I know I always try to do comparisons here because that's how it makes sense to me. But this is similar to what we have talked about with thyroid before, where people will come in and they'll have just had their TSH checked and TSH checked and TSH checked. Nobody actually looked at what their body was doing and what was actually going on with the thyroid.
Yeah. And they didn't need Synthroid after all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with this. You can't just look at testosterone is what you're saying, right?
Right. There's a whole lot more that goes into this. And so, you know, if you're looking for someone that's going to, you know, help you with your hormones, find someone who does all forms of hormone replacement, that someone that understands when it's prudent to use oral or injectable or transdermal uses, not just someone who's just doing pellet.
And are they pelleting everybody? Because sometimes someone might think that they have a hormone issue and they might have a different issue completely.
Right. They may have a toxic metal issue.
Right.
Yeah. We
so
see that a lot.
So that's important, too. And you don't want to bombard their system with hormones that they don't need.
Exactly. So then you're creating other problems that someone else is going to have to undo.
We have had a lot of patients that come in and we're considering hormone replacement therapy with someone else, and we have found major problems. And we're like, well, it's a good thing we checked before you did this. So this is
not that they didn't need hormone replacement or that they may not need it, but we have bigger issues and bigger fish to fry first.
And it may change what they need, right? I mean, it may change, you know, how much they need. It may change when they get it. I mean, there are all these other issues.
And they may not even need it once the other problems are fixed. That's the thing. You just don't know until you fix things in the proper order. So anyway, you know, if you're looking for someone to help you, find someone that does functional medicine. Find someone that utilizes all the forms of hormone replacement. But that's about all the time we have for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. If you want more information, please visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Give us a call, 314-293-8123. Shoot us an email. We love to hear from you. We love to have your questions. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. You know, we try to post on there as frequently as we can. You can reach out and connect with us. If you have any show ideas, throw those out there. We really enjoy those.
And we finally listened to all of you that are saying hormones.
We finally listened to you for hormones. So that's all the time we've got. For Aaron and Nick, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.